amazing. All right. Thank you so much to Eric and Mike in the back and for everybody helping me get set up. And our worship team. And just like last time I had the chance to speak, I just want to tell you guys, I love this church so much. I feel so welcome and loved here, and I don't think we ever get tired of hearing we're loved, so I want to tell you that I love you so much.
We love you too.
And, you know, I just want everybody to have a chance to experience what we have here. It's very special, and so I'm glad that you all get to experience that with us this morning. So to get started, I had a friend recently ask me if I considered myself an artist. And I told her, in the past I would just say, well, I'm crafty. But in more recent seasons, I really embraced that title. Yes, I am an artist. And so there's lots of things creative that I enjoy doing, whether it's decorating, gardening, painting. And I know that many of you all are very creative and artistic as well. And I've asked a few of our resident artists to allow us to display their work here today, to give us a visual for what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of today's sermon is Redefining Masterpiece. We're continuing our sermon series, Contact Light, Orbiting and Landing in a Rediscovered Faith. Pastor Matt's been talking to us about the idea that contact light were the first words that were spoken in space. I really enjoyed this imagery of outer space that we've been using. And so our orbit, so to speak, today is going to be around this term, masterpiece. If we're going to redefine the word masterpiece, like the title implies, then we need to start with a basic definition. And so Oxford Dictionary says that a masterpiece is a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. And I think that we can all agree that the art display here today is definitely outstanding artistry, skill, and workmanship. And I want to thank Susan for bringing this piece of art and for Rhea for allowing us to display this. And we couldn't bring Joy's mural, so we have a picture of it. But thank you for letting us see that. That was displayed at, was it the 1212 building?
Yeah.
A building that we used to worship in. So when I began my creative journey into watercolor painting a few years ago, I was pleasantly surprised that painting with watercolors felt very natural for me, and my early work wasn't too bad. So I followed some YouTube tutorials, and I practiced, and my work began to progress. So one day, I decided that I would paint a picture out of my photo arc book that I had received for Christmas. And so I was flipping through, and for some reason, to this day I still don't remember why, but I decided I would paint this picture of a sloth. Now, I think sloths are cool. So what came next was an attempt at painting the brown-throated sloth. And lucky for you that are in the room today, for some reason I've kept this painting all these years. And so I would like for you to behold the brown-throated sloth. nailed it. For those of you listening
online, let's just say that the painting of the sock did not come naturally. And even though I nailed it, it is of course not what I would consider an outstanding work of skill, artistry, or workmanship, and therefore not a masterpiece. I would like to redeem my watercolor painting with this picture of a hummingbird.
Oh, wow.
So this is one of my favorites, so we'll call this my masterpiece and cover up that awful thing. So now I'm going to ask you to pull out the card that you got, and if you need one, just raise your hand, and Kat will bring you one. And rest assured, I'm not going to ask you to create a masterpiece on your little card, so no worries there. But what I am going to do is ask you two questions today during this sermon that I'm going to ask you or invite you to write your answer down to. You can put one on the front, one on the back, however you want to do that. But I'm going to start with the first question. And that question is, what is your masterpiece? When you think about your life and the things that you enjoy doing, what is your masterpiece? It might be a work of art, but it doesn't have to be. It could be an educational accomplishment, maybe a creative solution to a problem. Maybe it's just a recipe that your family loves. Might be a technical endeavor. Maybe it's just the family you've created, whether by blood or otherwise. I'll give you just a few more seconds to write that down and think about what is your masterpiece. So as we move through the sermon today, I'm going to ask you to kind of keep in mind what your masterpiece is. When I began researching in the Bible for the word masterpiece, I found that it only comes up two times in the whole Bible. It's a Greek word that means, and sometimes translated as workmanship. It literally means that which has been made, or the works of God as creator. The Apostle Paul gives us a picture of this idea of masterpiece in Ephesians 2 as he's writing to the Jewish believers in Ephesus. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. That's one of my favorite passages. It reveals God's heart toward us and his plan for us. And just like our original definition of masterpiece, when we believe God creates us anew with outstanding artistry, skill, and workmanship, we are reborn as his masterpiece, not because we've earned it, but as a gift from God. What a beautiful picture to think about, the fact that God chose us to be his masterpiece. Think about that. The God of the universe looked out over all of the stars in the sky, all of the planets, the nebula, all of outer space. He could have been looking at the mountains or the sunrise, or every species of flower. He could have looked at the sloths, not that one, the ones he made. Sandy beaches, exotic birds, and he chose you, and he chose me to be his masterpiece. Let's soak that in for a minute. Of all things created, he chose us. I find that mind-boggling and humbling all at the same time. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and then again in Romans, we're given this analogy of God as the potter, molding us as the clay. And Isaiah talks about how crazy it would be for the clay to instruct the potter how to pot, so to speak. That's my translation. But that being the case, it led me to wonder, so what is the purpose of a masterpiece? Think about the masterpiece that you wrote down on your card. What is the purpose of it? Or in general, what is the purpose of a masterpiece? That's something you can answer out loud if you're willing. What do you guys think? Purpose of a masterpiece.
Bring joy.
Bring joy, yep.
Show love.
Mm-hmm. To show love.
Beauty.
Beauty. Yeah, exactly. The what I wrote down was to honor and showcase the skill of the artist. And if we think about that in terms of our purpose as God's masterpiece, Ephesians 1, 12 through 14, Paul reveals that God's purpose for us is to bring him praise and glory. That sounds a lot to me like the purpose of a masterpiece. So let's talk about what that means, to fulfill this purpose as God's masterpiece. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Matt spoke about what he called craters of lament. And if you didn't get a chance to hear the last two sermons, I would encourage you to go to our website and pull up those podcasts. I found those sermons to be very encouraging. And what I appreciated about the message about craters of lament was that Matt was reminding us that lament is a form of praise. And that God makes space for us to be authentic in our joy and in our grief. I can easily find myself feeling pressure to be a good Christian. And when I hear that I am God's masterpiece, in my mind it can shift to make me feel like I have to perform, to live up to the standard equal to a masterpiece. When I was a kid, I went to a Christian school. And I remember we would go on field trips and or maybe a competition and visit another school or something like that. And the teachers would say something like, "Now remember, you are representing our school and you're representing Christ." And while that in itself is not a bad thing to say, that felt like a lot of pressure. And the last time I preached, I mentioned being an overachiever. And in my little overachieving mind, that led to a lot of perfectionism. So when Pastor Matt teaches about this idea of lament as a form of praise, it's such a good reminder to me of what authentic worship looks like. And that it can be messy and it can be beautiful all at the same time. And so it is for us as God's masterpiece. If we want to be part of this masterpiece that God has created, we are not expected to live up to an unattainable standard of perfection. Christ already did that for us. What I gather from these verses is that when we believe, we are counted among those who are part of this masterpiece that fulfill this plan that God had long ago. These works of art that are displayed here today rightly bring praise to the artists. it doesn't matter if there's an imperfection in that art. It doesn't matter if the subject of that artwork is joyful or solemn. It wouldn't even matter if the world was falling down around that artwork. The very nature of being a masterpiece brings about its fulfilled purpose of bringing praise and honor to the artist. The last few years for me have been unbelievably challenging, to put it nicely. Personally, there was a season when I went through where I felt particularly spiritually overwhelmed. And I felt like I didn't have the capacity in my brokenness to feel like worshiping, but I felt like I should. And one Sunday, there was a message. I don't remember the details of the message, but what I do remember was that we were reminded that caring for creation was an act of worship. And on my short drive home, I felt like comforting me and reminding me that my gardening was caring for creation, and it was an act of worship that brought praise to God. And even more than that, I had this sense that just taking up space in my neighborhood and taking care of my little garden and taking care of little critters that came into my yard was a way of bringing light. That revelation changed me. This understanding that God was not asking me for something beyond my capacity. In fact, the very thing that brought me life, digging around in my garden, was the thing that also brought him praise and glory. Now I want to ask you the second question for today that I'm going to invite you to write your answer down for. That question is, when God looks at the masterpiece that is you, what both brings you life and brings him praise and glory? It was gardening for me, but it could be many things for you. And if nothing comes to mind right off, I wonder if maybe your answer to the first question would give you a clue. Might not, but it might. So as you think about that, what's built into you that brings you life? What feels life-giving that simultaneously brings praise and glory to God? I feel like I could answer this for some of you. I know some of you were built to help people. It brings you joy to see a problem fixed and to see the face of someone who has had something taken off their plate that they didn't know how to accomplish. For some of you, you find life in creating a space, a safe space for people to share and open up. And it brings you so much joy when someone's able to open up their heart in your presence. And you better believe those things bring glory to God. Some of you have a heart for seeking justice. And when you are able to help someone who has been treated unjustly, that brings you life. So I'm excited to think about what those things are for you all that you're writing down. Last week, Pastor Matt spoke about loving others out of the overflow of the love of Christ. He gave this visual of juggling, and that was fun to watch, and taught us that if it feels like we're juggling all these things that we think we should be doing, to simply remain in Christ and know that we are anchored, or to use our space terminology, to know that we are tethered. So when it says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece, he's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago," I feel like in church culture, we've gotten really good at rattling off a list of good things, or good works, as some translations say. And while those things are valid and important, sometimes that list feels overwhelming. And we feel like we're juggling, and we feel pressure to accomplish it all. But we are his masterpiece. Our purpose is to bring him praise and glory. Our task is not to accomplish it all. Christ has already become perfection for us. So as we consider these good works that are life-giving for us and bring praise and glory to God, I want to wrap up by saying, what you've written on that paper, the answer to the second question, when you're not sure how to praise him or you feel overwhelmed, do that. Embrace that. Make space for that. And know that he loves it. And know that he loves you. And if you're in a season where even accomplishing that thing feels overwhelming, and you feel like you're juggling, simply remain in Christ and know that you are anchored, and know that simply being God's masterpiece brings him praise and glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for choosing us. Thank you that we don't have to live up to an unattainable standard. Thank you for providing your Son to be perfection for us. Lord, breathe life into us as we seek to bring you praise and glory and live out our purpose as your masterpiece. May we know how very precious we are to you. In Jesus' name, amen.